VW Mobile.
DJW, KN4, VWA.
DJW, KN4, VWA.
VWA Mobile.
Yay, W4CTW, how you doing this afternoon?
I am full of lunch and headed back to the house to do some more work. This is Steve on this end. Who's we got over there?
Ken, talked to you the other day.
You doing all right?
Hey, I'm on 29 headed towards Spartanburg to pick up a permit. They got about the worst system in the world. You got to go show up in person to apply, and you got to show up in person again a day later to pick it up.
With everything that's been going on recently, there's been a lot of people trying to scam the system. And I bet you have to show ID every time you go, don't you?
But you do not. They're just a little bit behind the times and antiquated. Most of the other municipalities have gone to an online system, and during COVID, even the ones that most of them had, but Spartanburg's just keeping it old school.
One thing that Spartanburg has got going for them, whenever I go pay my property taxes on my vehicles, I get my tag right there on the spot. I don't have to go to the highway department or mail it in or any of that stuff. It just automatically, it's right there. They print it off with a new registration and a new sticker for the plate right there on the spot just as soon as I pay my vehicle property tax. Greenville hasn't gone to that. Anderson County hasn't gone to it. I think Richland County has, but as far as that goes, they're way ahead of everybody else. I don't know about the permits.
Actually, in Spartanburg, it's pretty good. They have an online portal for everything, and you can do everything online with them, but this is the city, and the city's just kind of holding to the old ways for a while.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Spartanburg County. I don't know anything about the city of Spartanburg. I just do my best not to have any dealings with the city of Spartanburg, or especially the city of Greenville. Good land. They're so far behind in the city up there, it's unreal.
See, Greenville's probably one of the times I have the easiest time getting a permit. You can do it all online, or if you walk in person, you can walk out 5 minutes later with your permit. They actually do same day at the counter. Most of the places will make you wait now except for them, but they used to be really bad, but I'd say in the past 4 or 5 years they've improved it some. Still not the easiest, but one of the better ones.
Yeah, because when I dealt with them, that's been about, probably 4 years ago. At that time, it was horrendous. I mean, it would take 10 days to 2 weeks to get a permit out of them for about anything.
You know, it is. They've improved a lot, but, there's still some things that they have they could still improve on. In Greenville County, it's still pretty bad. They have a system where you can send in an email with the permit application, but I was told, basically, if you do that, if they get any walk-ins or anybody that brings anything in, those go ahead of you, so it just keeps getting pushed to the back of the line. After waiting 2.5 weeks on them to process one, I decided I'd just go in person from now on.
Sounds like them over there. Man. Well, good luck with them, bud. Oh, man, I tell you what, I ate too much for lunch. I had lunch over there at the clock on Congaree, and I had too much, and I had lunch with a guy I went to high school with. And I tell you what, we looked like a couple of old geezers chowing down, and I tell you, I ate too much, and I'm just getting the after-lunch sleepies.
That either myself. If I have too big of a lunch, I'll start dragging by 1:30, 2 o'clock, just as soon as it hits my stomach. But a clock, it's hard to go to the clock and not do too much. Everything there is good, but it's also really heavy food, so it's difficult to eat light at the clock.
My oil change and grease job.
That would do it. They probably keep everything nice and lubricated.
How bad is that place over in Spartanburg, the Beacon? Oh, my God. They throw onion rings onto your plate, and they're just dripping with grease.
The Beacon in probably 10 years, and I don't think I miss it at all. You got to, they give you a lot for sure, but you got to eat through probably about, 2 inches of greasy fries and onion rings before you can even see your hamburger.
Yeah, area, and I'm a connoisseur of onion rings, really good onion rings. And that place, that clock there on Congaree, man, they know how to do them. They're good, and they're not dripping.
That one, I don't ever get over to that clock. I eat at the clock in Greer a good bit just because I'm on that side of town. And I used to eat a lot, similar restaurant, different name. I used to eat at the Palmetto on Lawrence Road all the time when I was younger, and then all the way up through and being in school when I was at Greenville Tech over there.
I haven't heard in many, many years. The Palmetto on Lawrence Road. That's where all the kids from J.O. Man used to hang out.
Right, we used to go. My grandfather knew the owner of there. His name was Bill. I think he's passed away now. His son's running it. But we used to always go over there and see Mr. Bill and get hot dogs all the way and a chili cheeseburger all the way with half and half.
Tell you, steak fingers with a little bit of salad and fries and onion rings, half and half today. It was way too much.
Sure, you enjoyed it in the moment, and you only regret it for just a short period of time.
I hope. Well, I am moving along through Greer. You notice I said that the right way. I am motoring through Greer on my way up to Inman to head back to the house, back to the hacienda. I'm going to play with my radios some more this afternoon. We'll try to work with some FT8. Now, do you do FT8?
I feel like I got some bugs to work out. I've made some contacts, but I've had several, many, many times where I'll make an initial contact with somebody who's got good signal strength, you know, negative 6, 7 dB, somebody I should be able to talk to pretty easy. And I'll make that first exchange back and forth, and we'll get hung up in the middle of the conversation, and I can't close out the QSO.
That's not uncommon. That's the bounce changing. And you know what I mean by the bounce, right?
The propagation guys changing their mind.
Well, you're going to get really good propagation every 2,500 miles. And as the Earth rotates, that 2,500 mile bounce is going to change a little bit. Plus, if you're doing it during the gray line, can be up and down in 45 seconds. In 45 seconds, you can just about lose the band.
Your window. I've done a little bit of 20 meter. I mostly will do sideband when, you know, the sun's up and I'm on 20. And then I've done kind of when I'm sitting there after 20 is closed out, I'll do 40 meter FT8 some, try that out. And I don't have a huge HF setup yet. I'm kind of saving up for a 7300. Right now I've just got a Zigu G90, so I'm only pushing 20 watts. But into full-size antennas and on 20 meters, I've got a Moxon, so I've got a little bit touch of gain and directionality. But, you know, from what I've read and heard, 20 should be pretty good on FT8. I should be doing all right.
That's 20 meters or 20 watts? I've never really run it that low. I've got a 991A, and I'll tell you something. When you go to program it, you ought to check out a 991A. It's ICOM. The programming ladder is just difficult unless you buy the software to program them. And I'll tell you, I run an amp, so I haven't run anything less than 100 watts in long time, so I pushed through okay.
I ought to do okay on FTA because I've made a lot of sideband contacts on 20 watts, and including DX, a lot of Europe, you know, plenty of times all the way hauling across the country, California, Caribbean, got one or two Russian stations. So I've done okay on sideband, so I figure if I'm doing decent on that, FTA ought to do all right. And I'm curious on that 991. I had considered that. I hadn't heard as much feedback on that as the 7300. I do like the idea of having 2 meter 440 as well, because I wouldn't mind doing some 2 meter sideband stuff in the future. And there's not really a good way to get 2 meter sideband unless you're getting an all-in-one rig like that. So you like it a lot. You like the 991.
91A, I can go over to the menu, and in less than 30 seconds, I can select the menu and pop on my display and have whatever I want as far as power and SWR or signal strength and, you know, anything I want to pop up in the scale windows. And I can run a scope and waterfall all at the same time.
That sounds pretty good. I'll definitely look into it more now. Those are definitely the big two. Just, I don't know why there's just more feedback online just on the 7300. I don't know if it's just kind of how it is. But I will say this. I have not seen a lot of 991s for sale used. I see hundreds come up on QTH and, you know, a bunch of other places frequently. So I'm wondering if people have less buyer's remorse on the Yaesu.
And I'll tell you something else, too. There's a reason why you don't see the 991As up for sale used, except rarely. I mean, they just perform beautifully. They just work. Now, you said something about doing 2-meter sideband, right?
Yeah, I haven't done a whole lot. I've got a little Kenwood, the older Kenwood. I got it for like $50. That'll do 10 watts on 2-meter sideband, and I've played around with it a little bit, but haven't gotten too much into it. But I'd like to build a decent 2-meter, Yagi. I got a couple 3 and 5 elements, something bigger, and get into some sideband eventually. I mean, I got a lot of other stuff on the list, but it'd be nice to have that, you know, kind of in my back pocket. The Yaesu can do that.
It can, and it'll do you a good job. It really will. Now, I think I talked to you the other day about that other Yaesu I've got for sale, right? The 2-meter 440?
I don't think we talked about that. I didn't know you had anything for sale. Yeah, which one are you talking about?
The Yaesu FTM 736R for sale, and it is a 2-meter 440 220 full house. And when I say full house, that is upper and lower sidebands, that's satellite, it'll do any of that stuff.
Good. So it's decent, it's older, so decent sized base rig.
That's a base rig. It's not a portable. Yeah, nobody that really does sideband takes them portable. At least nothing that I know of.
I wrote that down real quick. I'm going to have to look up a little bit on that and kind of read more about it. See what it is.
Older radio, but if you look online at the ham radio sites, this radio is going for anywhere from about $750 to $1,000. Some of them have even got them priced at $1,200. It has that much capability.
That's pretty extreme. I know those things do kind of go for gold sometimes because there's just not a lot of 2-meter and 40 sideband equipment out there. Like I was saying, the only way to really get anything new now is to get a HF rig that has it rolled in like a shack in a box.
For some reason, I'm not sure. I'm 90% sure, not 100, but 90% sure that a 991A will do the sideband for 2-meter. You know, you got my curiosity up now. I'm going to have to go and look.
Does. I think it does all mode on any band the radio will do. So you can do sideband on, you know, 2-meter, 70 centimeter, etc.
So, yeah, I tell you what, if you're interested in that thing, I'm going to have it on the swap and shop on our net tonight. Do you ever check into the 610 net?
I try to check in RF as much as I can, but I'll do free check-in when I can. You know, I try to get in there at least 3 or 4, if not 5 times a week. I do try to listen to the swap net on the end of days, though, with Mr. Gary.
Put it on the swap net tonight, and it's in perfect working order, everything on its complete functionality. And a long time ago, when I got started, this was back in 17, no, in 19, I had a fella give me a 706 Mark II G at a real bargain. I mean, dirt cheap bargain. And I used that thing and played with it. And I finally bought my 991A. Well, I paid it forward and I gave it to another fella, ultra cheap. And I'm going to do the same thing on this one. I got it for a good, reasonable price. And I'm gonna pay it forward just trying to, you know, get what I've got in it back out of it. So I'm going to be asking $450 for it.
I have to think on that. I'll have to read some more about it and see. I'm leaning toward right now, I really need a better HF rig first. That's probably where my M radio money is going to go. Because I wasn't sure how much I was going to get into HF, so I got the G90 for very little money. And I figured if I upgraded in the near future, it's a good mobile or, you know, parks on the air rig. It doesn't use a lot of power, real small, built-in tuner. It actually does real well.
Well, I tell you what, I've also got a Yaesu 450D that I'm probably going to part with. And that's a good HF rig, but it's strictly HF. But you could make up the other end with this FT-736, and I haven't put in on the swap net yet, but I'm thinking I'm going to. And if you want to move up, you can do the full spectrum with two separate radios to operate independently. I'd let you have them both for $850. So, you know, something to think about.
Think about it. Could you repeat back and let me know what the part number was on that HF rig? I didn't get a chance to write that.
It's a Yaesu FT-450D.
Well, that time, thanks a lot.
What kind of antenna have you got up? Yeah, for your HF.
I've got about a 40-foot mast up that I've got my 2-meter J-pole on, and I've got that kind of as my center point, feeding a off-center fed dipole that gets me 10 to 80 with not a whole lot of tuning. I get resonant on most of the important bands, and then on the WRAC bands, I'll have to tune a little bit, and usually I tune a little bit on the lower side of the 75-meter foam band, and I've got that just kind of as my regular antenna, and I've got on the back side of the house, I built a 20-meter Moxon rectangle, which is just a 2-meter beam, or a 20-meter beam, two elements, with the elements folded back to, you know, back elements reflector folded forward on the ends, about 5 feet, and same going back the other direction on the driven element on the front.
Well, I tell you what, I just recently put up a Mosley TA-33 with the work and the 40-meter add-on, and I am busting it all over the Pacific Rim, Indonesia, Taiwan, even into Japan with that thing. It is something else. And I have a Cushcraft D-4 that I'm going to let go. Not a D-40, but a D-4. It's 10 through 40. And it is a rotatable dipole. It does pretty good. So, I don't know if you'd be interested in that or not.
You got a lot of stuff I need to see what I'm looking at. That sounds pretty good, too. I'm kind of, I don't know if I'm saying short on room. If for me to put up anything else rotatable, I would have to take down the Moxon probably, because I'm a lot of trees in my yard and kind of limited space, and I pretty much have taken up the only two open spots for antennas I can really get.
Oh, no, this would not be the antenna for you then, because it's 33 feet wide, and you need to be able to rotate it. So you need a 33-foot clear spot right in the yard there.
I can't come up with that right yet unless I clear some trees out. The mock sun just barely fits, and it is, you know, probably 70% the width of a full-size 2-meter Yagi. 20 meters.
Well, listen, you go do your research, and that 736 will be on the net tonight. And in the meantime, if you...
Hang on a second. I'm getting a call. Step out on you, bud. This is the boss lady calling, and just listen up on the swap net tonight, and you'll hear it, and my contact stuff, okay? So, 73's KN4 VWA, I'm clear.
KN4 CTW, I'll say 73 to you, and I'm sitting here stuck in a train, so I'll be monitoring for a few minutes.